Thanks very much for joining us this morning. The next session is entitled Application Uncertainty to Application Readiness. It has a slightly longer title in other areas, in other print. Application Readiness for Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2. Hold on a sec, that's not supposed to be there. That's better. Slightly shaky start. Okay, good. Hopefully today we're going to talk to you, or I'm going to talk to you about applications and give you some ideas about if you're facing challenges around Windows 7, thinking about moving to Server 2008 and 64-bit. And the session today is kind of broken down into a few different sections. A little bit on intros, talk a little bit about challenges and perhaps how you used to do things the old way. And then go into some new technologies. And really, I want to spend as much time as I can in demos. The demos are going to be interspersed, but kind of as a block of time, I'm really hoping to spend more time in the product than boring you with PowerPoint. But I do want to lay a few conceptual foundations through PowerPoint, and we'll start there. But first, let me start with a few intros. Oh, before we do, actually, I don't know if any of you saw this. And if you haven't yet seen Chris Jackson talk, he's the Microsoft App Compat guy. He's going to be on tomorrow afternoon, really worthwhile. And we were having a dinner in Seattle a few weeks back, just after Tech Ready, and realized that he was speaking here, and so was I. And I foolishly challenged him to better his ratings. I don't know what came over me. I think I was a few gins into the evening. But anyway, so we've got a challenge going. If you would be so kind as to complete the evaluation forms online outside, I'd be grateful. And currently, I'm the underdog, and we'll let you decide what you think of the presentations. Hopefully, there's something interesting for you to take away. So a little bit about who we are. I'm CTO at a company called AppDNA. We're a software company. We've been around for a few years now. And our heritage was a services company managing applications through transformation projects, application packaging, and so on. And we started building some software to make ourselves more efficient. And over time, we matured that software to where it is today. And it's all about being able to automate this process, which has been a very manual process historically. AppDNA is a company. It's been around about 3.5 years now. We've got a presence now in Australia. A couple of my colleagues here, Glenn Parker at the back there, he's our VP for the region. We've got Adrian Lara here as well, who's our technical pre-sales and support in the area. Love to hear from you. We've got a booth downstairs as well. So as an organization, we're focused very much on the Microsoft and Citrix technology stack, the Windows operating system and enabling the Citrix technologies. We operate fairly strongly through channel partners and service provider organizations. And really, for me, it's exciting to be able to say that we've got over 300 customers now. So the technology that you're going to see today might be quite new to you in concept, but I really wanted to validate that we've been doing this for a number of years now, and we've been doing it at scale and in a whole variety of different industries and organization types. A little bit about me. I'll be wearing one of these in a few weeks' time. Hopefully that doesn't offend anyone in the room. In fact, I think it's the Kiwis that have probably got the most to be concerned about this year for the rugby. Originally, I'm from South Africa, but I live and work in the UK for AppDNA out there. Be really handy for me to get a sense of who's in the room today, and this will be the only audience participation I'll ask for. If I can get a sense of developers, how many developers do we have in the room? Wow, a few developers dotted around. Excellent. IT pros. Fantastic. Outstanding. Anybody who's sort of in the architect management type role? Outstanding. Any execs in the room? No. Excellent. We're in good company. Finally, just a few things about where you are today. It'd be really useful for me to get a sense of where people are at. How many are on Windows XP currently, predominantly within the organization? Okay, outstanding. That's a fair majority. Looking to go to Windows 7 as well? Same guys. Okay. How many of you are thinking about going to Server 2008 and Server 2008 R2 as part of what you're thinking about? Okay, outstanding. That's exactly what I was looking for. All right, so application readiness. The objective is to really get you to a state where the road ahead of you looks like that. But unfortunately, quite often, we see most of the organizations that I talk to, there is a roadblock of some kind. Apologies for the sheep reference. Works well in Wales, but I didn't want to offend anyone out here. But this is really the biggest problem I see when I go around talking to organizations is there is a degree of uncertainty and there's a challenge associated with whatever the project is, because the applications at the end of the day are what the business is invested in. And any change that you make, you just have to ensure that the applications continue to run. And expressing that in terms of the old world, the Windows XP world, and many of you, I don't know how many of you were around when your organizations went through the transition to Windows XP, but in contrast to Windows 7, there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on. Technology has moved on, and there are so many new components to running enterprise IT that are outside of just the operating system. And not only that, the platform, the hardware has changed as well. You know, virtualization has changed the way that you would manage and deploy your Windows operating system. And we see these other technologies as being huge opportunities, but they represent their own challenges as well. Why would you want to think about these other technologies? You know, there are real benefits to application virtualization, for example. You can significantly lower the cost of managing and deploying your applications. And it has an inherent stability that you might not get, for example, as opposed to Windows installer packaging. 64-bit is an opportunity in the data center, you know, to increase density. So there are huge opportunities with these technologies. But again, it always comes down to that question. Well, if I go to application virtualization, how many of my apps will work or won't work? And can I do that at the same time as Windows 7? Or is that really just too much to bite off? So what is it about the apps that creates this complexity? And in many ways, it's fairly logical. You know, an application, you have to think about if you're deploying and changing its format, how will the application behave? Will it work on your operating system? What's the best delivery mechanism for the application if you're going to hosted virtual desktops or pooled virtual desktops? All of these things then boil down into a set of challenges with respect to the application. And of course, when you've got 100, 500, or 5,000 applications, the complexity is often just too much to get your arms around. So the old way, and many of you are probably familiar with this, and this is what we see a lot over the course of the past few years that we've been in business, is if you're trying to go to Windows 7, for example, you're going to test your applications. And that means getting a bunch of smart people who understand the problem space and who understand the applications. And this can take a long time. There are organizations that we work with that have spent 2 years, sometimes 3 years, getting to Windows XP or getting to Windows Vista. It takes that long to really work through a large portfolio. And at the end of that, you've understood how you stand for Windows 7 or your target operating system. But what about all of those other technologies that you're trying to understand at the same time? It becomes impractical to do a large-scale assessment manually. So what I'm going to propose today and what I'm going to show you is effectively the new way. There's a new way to do things. And our process, which we'll get into in a bit more detail, takes the applications, analyzes them, discovers everything about their behaviors and their characteristics through a process of what we call static analysis. It means we don't run the application, we don't exercise the application, but we collect what we call this DNA, and we'll get into that in a bit more detail. You store that in a database, and suddenly you're able to view your entire application portfolio holistically in one view, and you can start to analyze that in an absolute fraction of the time. We've got examples of projects that will analyze 1,000 applications, 2,000 applications in 3, 4, or 5 days. And that really does change the game. If you're thinking about facing Windows 7 or a server migration or application virtualization, you would potentially be thinking about a testing program that would run for 12 to 18 months. And you can achieve the same sort of results in just a few days. And again, we'll get into the demo. And not only that, because you're operating once the applications are in a database, you can do all of those technology assessments in one go. And this is a view in the product, and the concept here is, across the top there are all of the technologies that you might be interested in, list of applications down the side, and each one is then classified, and you'll see this traffic light system pervasively used through the platform that we have, red, amber, and green. And so you can very quickly start to get a sense of how you stand for each of those different technologies. And green means the application is very likely to work as is. And the first question I always get asked is, well, how accurate is this? And we track around about 90% plus accuracy if we say an application is going to work. If an application is red, it means we've found an issue of significance. And if the issue isn't dealt with, it will fail on that particular technology. And our amber category means we found an issue of significance, but we don't have a high degree of certainty that it will manifest itself. So amber is about saying, we found some issues, and we'll direct you to what the issues are, but you need to do some close inspection. And so then we're about to get into the product in a bit more detail, and the way that I'm going to talk about the technology and the approach that we have is in these four categories. First of all, discover. Understand what's out there, understand the shape of the applications, and then analyze that data, and then use that information to do modeling. And we'll get into some interesting reports about how you can ask questions about what types of issues are there, which applications are problematic. And then automate, we're going to look at how we can actually remediate an application automatically. Not all things can be remediated, as you might imagine. If you're a developer in the room, you know, you'll know that there are aspects of an application which you can't really remediate without re-engineering the application. But we can direct you to those issues as well. And then we'll start to talk a little bit about managing, because and this is key. If you're going to spend energy and time taking your portfolio to Windows 7, you're going to go through a whole bunch of processes, and you're probably going to do a whole bunch of cleanup and housekeeping. And really what you want to do is continue that afterwards so that when Windows 8 comes along or when the next challenge comes along, you actually don't have to go through this big bang migration again. And if you've got all of your applications in view and any new applications that come in go into the same process, you're going to be in good shape for that next transformation. Right. Let's jump into Discover then in a bit more detail. And the first thing, we don't have this yet in the product, but I'm sure you all be in this position right now, is what's out there. And it's a really important step in any migration process or transformation is to do discovery. And by that, I mean finding out actually what's deployed, not just what you have in your deployment store. And Microsoft's technology, the App Compat Toolkit, is an agent-based technology. You can use that to go and deploy and discover what's installed on the desktops and what might be different from what you have under management. And we're going to be adding that to our capability fairly shortly. But the next phase on from just saying what's out there is to say, okay, what's the state of what's out there? And that, for us, is where we get involved. Our technology isn't an agent-based technology. What we operate on is the application installer, the package that you would deploy to a workstation or a desktop or a server. And our process is really straightforward. We import when we build this application DNA, which I'll show you in a sec. We then analyze that, and then we report on that information. As part of this discovery phase, you know, the question is, what can you learn from an application without installing it and running it? What's the validity of trying to answer questions about compatibility unless you run the application? And the way that we do this is by, first of all, building this DNA, and we'll talk about this just for a second. And when we take an application and we import it, we're analyzing every single file in that application. And this is significant because if you're running an application, you may not exercise all of its functionality. So even your manual testing process may not uncover functionality within the application. So by analyzing every single file, we're analyzing every single function. We know about imports and exports and API calls. We know about drivers and configuration files. So it's a hugely detailed process that allows us to express the application inside of our system. And that's one of the steps. Another step that's key, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is that an application doesn't operate in isolation. Inherently, it runs on the operating system and has a relationship with the operating system. So we have a process for analyzing the operating system in the same way that we would analyze an application. And this is key. And we would take your version of your operating system. We ship with a vanilla version, which gives us good results out of the box, but we would take your SOE as you develop it, analyze that, and store that in our system as well. This is equally important. The applications are probably designed for and running on XP today and may well be using functionality from XP that doesn't exist on Windows 7. So importing your XP environment is equally key. And we do the same if you're going to server as well, server 2003, server 2008. Another fundamental concept within the product is, after building this DNA, how do we derive the information about this functionality? And we use what we call heuristic algorithms. And the reason why we take this approach is because we're not just looking internally for an application for the presence of a file, for example, xyz.dll is known to be problematic on Windows. That would be a very, very limited approach. And what we actually do is look for patterns within the DLLs and within the files. And that allows us to kind of triangulate the problem space. We look internally to the application, and there's a bunch of inherent properties that we can look for. But we also look down to the operating system and the relationship between the old and the new operating system. And it allows us to develop a very detailed and granular view of the issues. And we'll take a look at this in the product. As I say, I'm going to try and get the PowerPoint out of the way, and then hopefully this will pave the way for the product when you see it. So let me give you a few examples of some of the algorithms and the types of issues that we're looking for. And one of the things I'm not going to get into in a great deal of detail today is the problem space. Like, what are the things that you're going to see? We're going to touch on that for Windows 7, but I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail. I really want to kind of give you a sense that there is a way that you can move forward without having to know in great depth and go and learn about all of the problems to do with Windows 7 and AppV and so on. And the way that we do this is, for example, this is one of our algorithms, OB7WinXP001. What it does is looks for obsolete files provided by Windows XP. And the way that we do that is we look at the application and we look to see if it has any unmet dependencies. Is it importing a file or is it using functionality from a resource that it doesn't install? So there is functionality outside of the application. We then look down to Windows 7 and say, is that functionality provided by Windows 7? If it's not, we then go and look for that functionality on Windows XP. And if we find it there, we're now in a very good position to say, actually, you've got some components that are on Windows 7, that are on Windows XP, that are not on Windows 7. And that's interesting for one application, but when you can take 500 applications, put them into the system, and after a few days start saying, actually, while I'm building Windows 7, I can start to understand that there are some legacy components. Instead of just trying to install the app on Windows 7, have it fail, and really go through a tough process of trying to understand why, you can start to use this to build your Windows 7 image more efficiently. So that's one algorithm. Unelevated administrative applications, one of the aspects of security introduced in Windows Vista and extended in Windows 7 was user account control. And it can trip you up in a number of different ways. And one of the ways is where you have an application that has an API call in it that requires elevation. And we can look into the application, we can find APIs that require elevation. We look for references and we look for manifests that would elevate that API call. And if we don't find it, we can say with confidence, if you use this API call within the application while it executes on Windows 7, the API will fail. And that's a fairly powerful place to be. That's a very difficult thing to discover through manual testing. Another thing that's important as well, and I haven't mentioned this yet, is that we import web applications in the same way that we would import Windows applications. So we take the source code if you have access to the server. We have a spider, and I'll show you how that works in a minute as well, if you don't have access to the application source. And we treat the source code, the pages within a web application, as we would a Windows application. And we can start to see things like, first of all, what mode is the page rendering it in? Has it been designed or tweaked to run in standards mode? And if not, we can see actually we've got some indicators in the source code that are using legacy or unsupported tags. No longer supported in Windows 8. And particularly our reporting in this area is targeted at, will my web apps work in IE8? Or will the standards changes in IE8 give me some problems? So that's kind of a whistle-stop tour of the algorithms, and hopefully that'll, as I say, pave the way when we look at the product. Here are just a few examples of some of the most common issues that we see for Windows 7. And the percentages are based on the prevalence of that issue. So it doesn't add up to 100%, but we can say that around about 17% of the apps that we typically analyze have deprecated dependencies. In other words, the class of issue that I described a moment ago, which is stuff that exists on Windows XP that doesn't exist on Windows 7. And The RAG, the red, amber, green status, is our classification of the severity of these issues, but the really good thing is that most of them can be fixed. And we also, as part of our technology, we identify what the fixes are, and we know how difficult those fixes are. And that starts to come into play when we look at what we can do with project estimation. So that's just a sense of some of the common issues. UAC is fairly common, session zero isolation, and a variety of issues. Okay, that's the first round of PowerPoint out the way. And what I will do, by the way, if you've got any questions, if you could just store them up for the end, and hopefully there'll be enough time at the end, and we'll go through some Q&A. So I'm going to demonstrate now the import of Windows and web applications. So this is the product. This is Aptitude. And this is its main page. And I'll be jumping in and out of this. So some of the stuff that you'll see here that you might have questions about, hopefully I'll get back to during the course of the presentation. We have a simple import process on the left. You can see we can import web applications. We can do a web capture import, or we can import directly from source. The other import option... Oh, we cut off the edge. Let me just drop the resolution here, one sec. No different. Sorry about this. Just fire it back up. Hopefully it'll readjust. Actually, no, that's not going to work. There we go. Let's do it that way. Okay. So I'm going to import some applications, and the product itself imports Windows Installer natively, so the MSI format. And the reason we standardized on that is that it's a transparent format. If an application is represented as an MSI, we can crack it open, we can look at the tables, and we can extract all of the files and very easily analyze the files. So the first thing I'm going to browse to are some example MSIs. I'm going to grab two MSIs. And the other thing that is fairly self-evident is that a bunch of applications will not be in MSI. They might be in legacy formats, they might be in legacy SMS, and a variety of other proprietary legacy formats, but probably most commonly a setup.exe. Now, the setup.exe is an opaque binary blob to us. We can't crack it open. So the way that we have to, the way that we analyze that is to push it through an installation process, and we create an MSI for the purposes of being able to import it into the product. So I'm going to demonstrate that for you now. And once I've gone ahead and... Sorry about this resolution. We're going to be shifting a little bit to the left and right so you can see. Once I've selected those apps, I'm now going to go ahead and hit the import button and talk you through the process. So you can see these two MSIs are being imported in parallel. We're not installing them. But what we're doing, and you can read the little status messages as they flip by, is, as I said, extracting the files, doing a static analysis on all of the binary, all of the configuration files, and effectively generating a meta data set. And we talked about earlier 68,000 data points. And at this point, we're generating the information about the application and all of its components, and then we're loading that into the database. And on the other side, the other tab. It's virtual server, just chewing resources for the moment. On the other side, you'll see in a minute a virtual machine pop up. And the way that we perform the transformation to MSI, and all of you who've ever done any MSI packaging will understand this, but the process is bring up a virtual machine, a clean machine, take a snapshot of that machine to get its current state, install the application, and then take a snapshot of its post-install state. And the difference between those two machine states represent the application. And then we build an MSI based on the delta between those two machine states. And this is the virtual machine popping up right now. And so at the moment, what I'm talking about here is processing applications. And the idea is if you've got 50, 100, 500, or even 5,000, and we've done this at fairly significant scale, you can batch process your application. So you feed the product, and this is the stage almost that replaces that manual testing. At this point, we're building up the knowledge about the applications as we process them and import them into the system. Another side effect of this, which is quite useful and quite interesting to a lot of organizations, is that you may, as part of this process, actually be looking to transform your apps from a legacy format, either to AppV or to Windows installer packages. And you can leverage our import process to start transforming your applications as part of a re-engineering, repackaging project. And so we can use whatever packaging technology that you currently have, and we can embed that within this virtual machine. So not only are you taking the applications into Aptitude for analysis, you can actually be transforming your portfolio at the same time. And as part of this as well, we have a couple of tools that will launch, and we take screenshots. So you now start to have a record of how the application was installed, which can be very useful as a document in your repackaging processes. Just see that's coming up. Yeah. There we go. So the application that I've selected here is FileZilla. You can see at the bottom right, I have a little automated screen capture utility. So I'm going to go ahead and just click on and do a default install. Yeah. Each time I click the mouse, you'll see a little screenshot being taken. And I can also go ahead and create a manual screenshot and make some comments about something that I might have been doing along the way. Excuse me. So hopefully this is kind of making sense. And as I say, we're still in the first part of what it is that we do to get applications in. And this will really drive the later stages of the modeling, the reporting, and the analytics. And that'll just take a few minutes to unpack and then install. The difference, hopefully, is kind of self-evident. But as I say, an important part of this is, and we have a bunch of organizations, and how many of you, I didn't ask, we're looking to do application virtualization? Quite a few of you. There are some really interesting challenges around application virtualization. As I said, really useful to be able to transform your portfolio into virtual packages. When you're going through this bulk import process, and I'll demonstrate this a little bit later on, via the same virtual machine, you can actually, if you think about it, you're installing the application, and that's really what you would need to do to virtualize the application for AppV. We can actually do that at the same time. We can create virtual packages while we're importing. This environment is an extensible environment, and you can do any number of processes. We have other sort of task sequences which would include creating XenApp packages, doing runtime analysis. We could, once the application was installed, we could fire it up and use it, and we would start to collect runtime data. So it's a very powerful component, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but at the moment, as I say, we're really illustrating the idea of taking any application and getting it into the product. So I won't fire it up for the time being. And this is now we're performing our after snapshot. I've already done the before snapshot, and I've cached it within the virtual machine. And this is then that final machine state that is going to be used to create the delta and build out the MSI. And what I'll be doing, and we'll see my file system here, it's going to start to kick out the MSI as it's building it into the file system. And there are the files that start to get generated as part of that process. And you can see the screenshots that we took, we've just captured in an HTML document, which you can use, as I say, as part of your packaging documentation. So that's our import process pretty much done. We've got two new MSI packages. We now have that FileZilla setup.exe, which was converted into an MSI, which is now having all of its extracted files analyzed, and they'll be loaded into the server. So that's pretty straightforward. It was about 6 minutes to do those three applications. And as I say, we can do high volumes in batch. Next stage is to analyze them. And currently within the product, I have these modules turned on. So we're going to analyze these applications for 64-bit compatibility, Windows 7, suitability for Server 2008 R2, as well as AppV and Internet Explorer. But these are not web apps, so it won't be a particularly relevant report. So I'm going to hit the Analyze button. Just quickly while this is running, so we have the DNA in the database, and we've now decoupled the process of understanding the application issues from the application itself. So we're going to analyze this for all of those different technologies in one go, and that'll take just a couple of minutes. So I'm going to leave that running in the background because that kind of takes us on to the next phase of our process, which is modeling. And if you've now got all of this information in this database, you really want to start to use it and ask questions of that data that'll help you start to answer project questions. And these are the ones that we see very typically: how much effort's involved in remediation, in testing, in getting these applications to the next stage? How many resources will I need? What sort of skills will I need? How much time will it take? And how much ultimately is that going to cost me? I'm going to illustrate the concept of what we have in the product called our effort calculator. We have the applications. We have them in the database. We've analyzed the applications, and we understand what the issues are. We know what remediations are required to fix the issues. We know how much effort's involved in each of those remediation steps. We know the complexity of the application. And the idea here is that if you've got a simple app and you tweak it, it's quicker than tweaking a large and complex app because you've got to do peripheral testing and regression testing to make sure you haven't broken anything. And then we can add in project variables about the cost of people, the time, and the number of people on the project. And you can use this, and I'll show you this in a minute, to very quickly understand how you get from your current state to that target state of ready for Windows 7. And this is a real game changer. Honestly, the number of organizations that we work with that we go in and they give us, you know, 1,000 of their applications, and after a week we can sit down in a before the project started mode and say, all right, let's look at what we're talking about here for Windows 7. It completely transforms the way that you can approach the project. And it's much easier to sell internally a migration based on, hey, we know that we're 65% good to go. And by the way, that slice, that pie chart is roughly a representation of most organizations' state for Windows 7. It's a pretty good story. You shouldn't fear the compatibility that you're facing. But to be able to have this information very early on in the project is very powerful. Another part of modeling that I'm going to talk about and demonstrate for you in a moment is if you've got a sort of a heterogeneous technology environment where actually you've got some application virtualization, you've got some server-based computing, you might be using ZenApp hosted, some sort of terminal services deployment, how do you know which application is suitable for which environment? It's a very complex web or kind of map to draw out, not just for one app, for multiple applications. And we have what we call our forward path calculator, and as I say, I'll show you this in a minute. And the idea is, actually, you've got a bunch of end users who have maybe different devices, and you need to think about a way that you can map or deliver an application to any number of different devices. And in between the application and the endpoint and the user, there are various delivery mechanisms, various platforms. And we take our forward path engine, and we start to map out automatically, and you can model scenarios that will map the applications and their best suited delivery channel and application format. And as I say, it'll probably make a bit more sense when we look at it. So in when we're talking about modeling, it's really looking about the information about the apps. What do we have? What's the state of the apps? What's the state of the portfolio? As well as what do we need to do to get to that end game? So let's jump into a demo. Those three apps that I just imported. I'm just finishing off their analysis. I'll give another few seconds. There we go. Excellent timing. So the first thing I wanted to look at now is reporting. So I've taken these three applications, and I'm going to start at a very high level with what we call our overview summary, which is kind of what you saw in the slide a little bit earlier. These three applications, StyleWriter is fairly incompatible across the board with 64-bit, with Windows 7 and so on. BBC Ticker, green, good to go. And if you think about that, I haven't run those applications, but I have information about their suitability for a whole bunch of technologies. That was just three applications. This can be a very, very powerful way to approach your application questions. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to pick up the rest of the apps that I have. I'm just going to grab the Windows apps as a group. And I'll start, again, at a high level and step through some of the reporting. So here we have this, looks like a bit of a fruit salad, but it's where you can start to see side by side how the applications fare, and you can start to identify which applications are going to be problematic across your different technologies. And that starts to give you a sense of which apps are complex and which apps are difficult, are going to be tricky to take forward. Let's drop into a more targeted context. I've now zoomed in on the Windows 7 report, and what you'll see is, first of all, the overall status for the portfolio. And on the left, there is a standard summary and a customized summary. And the reason for those two is that you can take the analytics, the algorithms, and you can tweak them. Some of the stuff that we report as being green might be important to you, and you can elevate the state of that. So the tool itself is very configurable. But essentially, you're looking at your high-level status for Windows 7. In this view also, you're starting to see individually which applications are good to go. You'll see a little overlays there as well. In addition to deriving information directly, we use an external lookup, and there's a large list of applications supplied by Microsoft known to work and known to not work with Windows 7 and Server. So we have some overlays that will indicate that there is some external knowledge about the applications. And so this is where you can start to, as I say, zoom in on the applications that are going to be problematic. Start to think about, are there newer versions? Are these critical applications? Are they internally developed? Can you start to take information to the developers that will give them a heads up on what they need to do to start tweaking the application to work for Windows 7? So that's an application level view. I'm going to flip this around now and look at the issues. What are the things that are going to be problematic for these applications for Windows 7? So we're taking, as I say, a pivoted view, and looking at the most common issues, the severity of those issues, and then which applications will manifest those issues. And hopefully you're starting to get an idea of what you can do with the technology. And again, at the top, there's a summary. But now we're starting to get a hint of what I talked about earlier, this concept of remediations. That might be where you are today, but we know that those issues, most of them, can be fixed. And your end game is going to look more like the chart on the right. 3.6% of these applications have issues which can't be remediated through normal processes, and we're going to treat them as exceptions because we declare them to require redevelopment. If they're your applications, of course, you can resolve them. Let me just zoom into there. So here we're starting to map out the types of known issues and where are the hotspots across the whole portfolio. We can see user account control, session zero isolation, some operating system versioning, and deprecated components are the areas that are of most concern with this group of applications. We then go further and start to list those issues directly. Very powerful when you're modeling your scenarios. And again, the thing that really takes a while for people to get is that you can do this up front. You're not deploying a team of people to discover this information for 12 months and then look back and go, oh, that was really interesting. We had a bunch of issues that were deprecated components. You're doing this at the beginning of your project. And you can very quickly then start to say, well, which applications have a particular class of issues? We've got, for each algorithm, we have a description of how this problem manifests, and we've got actions and remediations. And you can see we've got some automated remediations, and I'll go into those and demonstrate them for you in a little bit. So this is another view then on the information, and then a final view that I want to take a look at is actions, because I touched on the concept in our effort calculator of we know what the issues are, we know how to resolve them, and we have actions associated with these issues. And so the actions for this group of, how many have I got, 28 applications, is really made up of some automated remediation, tweaking the operating system, and this is key as well. You can actually affect compatibility resolution by modifying your OS build, but that's difficult to do if you're going application by application through your compatibility project or your transformation project. Some of them don't require remediation, some require redevelopment, and we're treating those as exceptions, and there is some repackaging activity that can resolve issues. So all of this is really, as I say, as a modeling exercise before you've had to actually go out and do directed testing. That's kind of a whistle-stop tour of the reporting, and we've got more detailed reporting on an individual application basis, which I'll get to in a second, but I wanted to then show you that effort calculator in action. The idea here is I select my apps, and I want to understand what's involved in taking these forward. So how much effort is going to be involved in which apps and what do I need to do? Select Windows 7. I'm now able to see for each algorithm that we have in the product, we can see what the issue is there remediation required, what's the type of remediation, and is it complex, simple, medium, or hard? We use just a very basic indicator. The next step is to think about the complexity of the application. And we use some very simple metrics here. We count the number of files and the number of registry entries, and these can be modified to perhaps better reflect your environment. And you can then sort those applications, and you can very quickly start to say, you know, does this make sense? Are those my complex apps? And you can get a degree of comfort that that represents the mix of complexity within the portfolio. We then add those two together, and we arrive at a report scenario which looks something like this. That's where we are today. That's where we can get to, given the remediation that's involved. And we can start to do some calculation. If you were to do this manually for 31 applications, 0.2 months, with aptitude, without aptitude, 0.4 months. And we have some cost indicators there. And this is something that you can modify and you can extrapolate and say, actually, I've only imported 35 apps, but I've got a portfolio of 500. And there's a whole bunch of variables here that would be pertinent to your environment, to your project. How many users do you have? What are the cost of the users and so on? And really, this is an exercise in trying to be transparent with the way we calculate this. But the end game is that you're able to model and get a sense of how much it's going to cost and how much effort is going to be involved in getting to this project completion. Okay, so that's some of the modeling. Actually, before we step out of this, when we looked at the overview summary, the technology that we're reporting on here are 64-bit Windows 7, AppV, and Server. And that's fairly complex to try and break down. And if I say, well, actually, what I'm trying to do is I want to go to Windows 7, and ideally I'd like to go to a 64-bit version of Windows 7, and I'd like to use AppV where possible, tell me about how I go about that using that information. And we recognize that that's a fairly complex thing to break down. So we created what we call our forward path engine. And this is a flexible scenario generator. And it does just what I described, which is to say, that's the state for Windows 7. That's the state for AppV. Now tell me which applications fall into which category. So good to go for Windows 7, good to go for AppV. We've got some indications of actions, which is, hey, we've got at the top there apps that are problematic for both Windows 7 and AppV. Other applications which are actually good to go for both, and some that might require some moderate remediation for AppV. And this forward path is a modeling engine that allows you to map your objectives to the applications and to the information that you have about your applications. And that's just one of the scenarios. And we've got other things like our consumerization infrastructure map. And this is where we're saying we want to deploy, ideally our primary stack is Windows 7 using MSI, using Zen Desktop, and this is about using hosted virtual or pooled virtual desktops. So we have a primary stack or a preferred stack, a secondary stack, and a legacy stack. And we can start to say the applications that can be virtualized and work on Windows 7, we can go on our primary stack. The ones that don't work on AppV can go on the secondary stack. We can use ZenApp. And then as a legacy stack, we've got applications that don't work on Windows 7, and we can perhaps deploy them to a Server 2003 environment. So being able to very quickly model this, and these are scenarios that you can customize and build yourselves. And given that this is a level 300 presentation, I'm going to jump in and just show you very quickly the kind of, if you want to get your hands dirty as developers, you can really build some very interesting scenarios on top of the data. We recognize that we've got an enormously rich data source, and this allows you to create outcomes, and then you can query the various properties that we have. So you can dig into applications, you can dig into reports and modules, and create these very complex scenarios, and then automatically generate the types of reports that we've just looked at. So hopefully then building up on just report for Windows 7, report for multiple technologies, an effort report that allows you to start to model and assess what it's going to take to get there, and then these multi-technology reports. And finally, the last bit of reporting that I want to show you. Is our detailed report. Because at the end of the day, at some point, you're going to have a complicated application and you're going to want to have somebody address some of the problems within this application. So we're looking at Documentum Desktop. We see we've got a couple of a red issue and an amber issue. And then for those guys who are really at the coalface of resolving and testing, we're starting to deliver information about actually, this has a launch condition. So this MSI, this Windows Installer package, won't even install. But in addition to that, we've got some session zero isolation issues found within some of the executables. And there's a whole raft of other information. And you can see, actually, some of our algorithms are green because they're best practice types of issues. And you can use this information not only to resolve compatibility issues, but start to understand, actually, should we be thinking about some of these components or some of these, do we want to start signing our executables? If this is our application, moving forward onto server and 64-bit technologies, signing your executables is good practice. Do we have an exposure in that regard? And so these green issues are starting to expose either potential issues or very unlikely to cause compatibility defects, but indicate some best practices and standards. Okay, so that's the reporting. Before I move on, actually, it might be useful just to take some questions at this point. Does anybody have anything that they particularly want to identify while we look at the reporting?
Is it aware of transforms?
Yes, it is. So you can, if your packaging involves an MSI plus a bunch of transforms, during our import process, we will apply the transforms, one or more transforms, and you can order the sequence of the transforms as needed. So the answer is absolutely yes. Yes?
You've spoken a lot about package applications.
Yes.
Web-based
applications, that's a good question, and I'll show you that in a second. And our process for importing web applications will involve, there's two ways that we can import a web application. One is if you've got access to the server, and we'd, for me, declaring sort of the source is not so much the developer source, but the compiled source that would run on the web server. If you have access to that, we can take that and effectively encase it in an MSI and import it. So we have all of the source templates, all of the compiled files that represent that web application. We import it, and we analyze it in the same way as we would a normal application. The other thing that we can do, and we recognize that you won't have access to the source for all of the applications. So the only way really to analyze those apps is to spider them and to go and visit the application through a browser. It's not the perfect way to analyze a web application, but it might be your only way. So what we do is we allow you to enter a URL. I'll just use our corporate website for demo. You can set the level of depth that you want to traverse to. I'm just going to increase the timeout because there's a bit of latency here. Let's add a URL. And what we're doing, we're firing up a browser, We're analyzing the page, we're finding all of the links on that page, and we're stepping through and visiting all of the links on that page, and depending on the depth. So we will automatically step through. If you've got forms, it'll pause and allow you to fill in the form box. So rather than doing something blind, we're showing you the pages as you go through, but it will automatically step through your web application. And the concept here is the things that make up this page will include style sheets, JavaScript files, included JavaScript files. You might have ActiveX components, and if we find an ActiveX component, we will grab the ActiveX component and download the binary, and that will form part of our captured source as well. And once this spidering activity is finished, we'll, again, encapsulate that into a Windows installer package, and we'll go ahead and analyze that. So I'll just interrupt this and show you some of the output from some of the web apps that we've... I've got two web apps in here, for example. And the type of analytics that we have, I've got two apps here. One of them has been spidered in the way that I've just shown you. So this Ranger, I don't know what the full URL is, has been derived from that web capture process. And we can see there is a sense of site completion. If you're using a spider and you've got 20 pages, how much of the site does that represent? And we recognize that that's an important part of the equation. Let me just jump into this report and show you the type of things that we're finding here. Not safe for scripting, ActiveX controls, unsigned ActiveX controls, various filters deprecated in terms of the tags for IE8. But the sitemap that I was alluding to is another part of the report. So how much have we... Oops, sorry again about the resolution. We can see how many pages do we have. Of the links that we originally saw, how many of those links did we visit? How many objects did we capture? How many objects did we miss? So we missed a style sheet for some or other reason. But this starts to give you a sense of exactly what was captured and what wasn't captured. And if I flip back to... we've got a sample application which has got a whole bunch of nasty stuff in it that we use to illustrate the process. So you can see that we're exposing web applications in the same way that we do Windows applications. The difference with web applications is that it's a text-based source, and we're able to show you the source code, and we can show you where in the source code that we found the problem. So the idea is that if you've spidered something, you can't really remediate it, but you can at least get a sense of where the problems might be. And for the developers, you can say, actually, you know, you've got a problem, a tag problem on such and such a page, and they can work that back into the templates. Yeah, another question over here.
What about application dependencies, things like Microsoft Office and Adobe Reader and that kind of thing?
Good question. Application dependencies. Microsoft Office as a suite is a very interesting, as I'm sure you're all familiar with, an interesting challenge to the organization. In that you've got applications that build on top of Office, and we have a bunch of algorithms that look to take your desktop application and identify, does it deploy a plugin, and does it have a dependency on a component of Microsoft Office? So we do have algorithms that identify that. And one of the things that often people say, do you have Office reports? One of the key questions about Office is the data files. Do the legacy data files, the Excel spreadsheets and so on, are they compatible with the next version of Office? Now, that's not reporting that we do. Our view of the world is through the application, and we do see application-to-application dependencies, but we don't go into Office data files. But we can see a link between a desktop application and a reliance on a component or a plugin into Office. That's a good question. Yeah, over here.
What about a portable app that doesn't need installing?
What do you mean by portable app?
Say you just run it from a directory, run the executable from a directory.
Okay. Yeah, good question. In fact, we worked with one of the banks in the UK recently, and they were using Andrew's file system, which is a similar concept, which is basically you take your executables and you drop them onto the network, onto a file share, and you create a link to one of the primary executables. And they had 1,200 of these applications, and they said, what can you do for us? And we have an automated capability to troll through, recurse through directories, and encapsulate the directory structure that represents the application and its files as an MSI and import that. And we did, so we did about, I think we did 1,200 applications in about a day and a half. So we can certainly get through that kind of, that type of application. It analyzes in exactly the same way as any other application. We can encapsulate it through our own import process. Any other questions? Okay, let me move into the next phase. Right, so that was model. Let's take a little look at some of the further automation that we have. I want to start with some remediation. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting quite dry. This is an example of an application. We'll actually look at this in a moment. One of the things that we can see are aspects like if there's a launch condition, if it's an aspect of an MSI that is problematic, we can fairly straightforwardly create a transform that will modify the MSI to resolve the issue. Likewise, we can create manifests that potentially will resolve issues. But it's a very tricky area to get into automated remediation, because a lot of the things that might be automatable might work for one application and not for another application. So our approach to automated remediation is we only look at it on a per application basis. We will expose to you the issues that can be remediated through automation, and we would ask you to really review those and make sure that those are the right things to do for a particular application. But I'm going to demonstrate this for you in a minute, and it should make it should make a bit more sense. Also clear, though, is that it's unlikely that any one application can have all of its issues remediated through some sort of automated remediation. So you need to take into consideration the types of issues and what's your best strategy for remediating that application. Some of it might be through repackaging, and you can take our automated remediations and add them to other steps that you might be bringing to bear on the application. The other key thing is that there is quite a lot you can do to tweak classes of issues by modifying the operating system. This is a very powerful way to approach remediation. Rather than saying, actually, we're going to insert a modification into 100 apps that have a particular type of problem, why modify at scale part of your portfolio when you can take that component and stick it on the operating system? And our approach is really do as little as you have to the applications to make them work. And that's really how our reporting is geared. The second bit of automation I want to show you is being able to generate app V packages automatically. I touched on this in the beginning. That virtual machine that you saw come up during the earlier demo created a snapshot that produced an MSI. We can just as easily fire up the app V sequencer and sequence an application, and we can start to use this to transform the portfolio as we import it. So let's flip into the demo. I'm going to go ahead and grab my Windows apps. Jump into the Windows 7 report. And I'm going to use Documentum Desktop to illustrate this concept. Documentum is showing a number of issues, the first of which is a launch condition. Within the installer, we take these launch conditions and we evaluate them. So we can detect, first of all, for the application itself, does it have inherent logic that identifies the target platform onto which you're trying to install it? And in this case, there is flawed logic, will not allow it to install to Windows 7. And it might well be that it's just a poorly crafted MSI. It's not an intention of the packager to prevent it from installing on this operating system, but it was built a long time ago, and they hadn't anticipated the version numbers for Windows 7. So that's one issue. And if you know this application, you might say, well, actually, I want to test this on Windows 7. You couldn't install this. So we're going to take this, knock out the launch condition, which will allow us to install it at least. Next one, and there are a class of issues. There are various issues down here which are of the type that I described earlier, which are green, but for which we can bring remediations. I just want to be careful that I don't scoot by them. Here we go. Custom actions launching non-administrative executables. if in your installer you have a custom action that is launching an executable, which is it will attempt to perform administrative functionality, it will fail. We see custom actions here, but we can't determine whether the external functionality they're trying to launch is administrative, or we can see that they're not. So this is a green issue for us. This is unlikely to cause a problem, but you may look at those and say, actually, those are custom actions which are, in fact, going to perform some administrative functionality, and what we want to do is elevate these. So this resolution, should you choose to select it, and all you do is you check the box if you want to accept this remediation, and you can review this, and you might say, actually, you know, I know this custom action. These are not administrative, but one of those is. And then further down here, we've got Windows Resource Protection. We're trying to install lower versions of files than what Windows 7 already has. The way that the Windows installer package, the Windows installer service will work is it will simply not install these files. Option one, do you want to remove them from your package? You don't really need to because Windows will handle that on your behalf. So you're potentially making a big change to the package by removing all of these files, and that may not be the best outcome for you. So do you want to take that remediation or not? So this is, as I say, the type of auto-remediation that we have, but it's important that you evaluate what it is that we're suggesting in the context of the application. But I'm going to leave that for the time being and just take the ones that are then selected. And our process will be to generate our fix in the form of a transfer. And I'm going to drop it into my documentum. There's one I prepared earlier. I'll just override it and locate my MSI. So let's go ahead and take a look at what we've done there. My installs, Documentum Desktop. Let's open up my installer package. Let's drop that transform which we created. And this will now show us things that have changed. Aptitude components have been disabled. Here we've got our launch condition, which has been removed. So you can start to see that there are various things that you can achieve through automation, and the product itself will help you out in a number of different ways, but it's important that you kind of treat this as a holistic approach and not just say, actually, what I'd like to do is blanket remediate the whole portfolio, because there are nuances with each application that would require closer inspection to ensure that you're not damaging the application through the remediation process. So that's just a quick look at some of the remediation that we can do. The next thing I wanted to talk about in terms of the automation was automated sequencing. This is part of our import process. I'll make sure I'm not cutting things off here again. There we go. Let's clear out the previous run. And the way that we do this, and I'm going to use Qt FTP as an example, we have what we call execution profiles. And these are essentially task sequences that you can leverage while importing an application. We could profile with XenApp, we could just snapshot, we could use the AppV sequencer, or any number of different tasks that we might choose to, including runtime analysis. I'm going to go ahead and use this execution profile, which is a straightforward sequencing profile. Hit the import button. And the process that you will see is going to be very similar to that install capture that we saw before. And the idea is that we can drive this for a number of applications. And often what we do is we analyze a portfolio. We then review the AppV reporting. We find all the applications that are actually green for AppV, and we fire them through a batch process of this type to generate sequences automatically. The output that we will generate, let me just go to my output folder, will start to drop into there. While that's firing up, I'll take a few more questions if there are any. Anybody have any queries about this process, sequencing? Yes, over here.
Is there any licensing with regards to this at these stuff that you're doing, considering it's a sort of like a different product?
No, actually, this component, this ability within our product to generate FE packages is what we call our production manager component to our product. What we're actually doing, though, is we're using the Microsoft technology. So we're not actually doing some direct or direct SFT creation. We're actually leveraging the Microsoft sequencer. We're hooking into it, but we're effectively developing a batch process around it. And that's the advantage that we have here, is that we can start to batch process applications. And I've got a 5-minute warning, so I'm going to breeze through this tail end. We're pretty much done, which is good. What you'll see here, actually, what you need to see is the taskbar. What you'll see happening in the background is that the Microsoft sequencer will pop up, and it will sit in the background. It's a command line version of the sequencer, so you won't actually interact with it. All you will do is get the product install, and you will step through the product install, and in the background, the Microsoft sequencer will be working and generating the SFT package. So rather than letting that run through, in the interest of time, I'll do the old, this is one I prepared earlier. And this is the screen capture of that Qt FTP install, which I did. And there's no sense of any interaction with the sequencer. But the output from that is a well-formed FV project, OSD, and all the rest of it. So this is an interesting, as I say, addition to what the product does, which is first and foremost, tell me about Windows 7, how do I get there, tell me about server, tell me about FV. But not only that, starting to automate some of the processes involved in actually effecting the transformation. So in closing then, just touch on management. This is something that's fairly new to us. We connect into System Center and Active Directory. So the modeling side of Aptitude and the management can start to express not just the applications in isolation, but you can start to see them in terms of your organizational units. So thinking about going to Windows 7 doesn't have to be a piecemeal or a wholesale exercise. You can segment your environment, segment your portfolio according to the users. And once you've done the migration, you can start to review the applications in a more granular way. It's not just the whole portfolio. It's in terms of the organization as it's structured. Any other questions? Yes?
Do you have any indication on performance?
Do we have any indication on performance of the applications themselves? Part of that virtual machine process that you saw, we have profiles that allow you to run the application. And if you run the application, we start to collect performance characteristics. In our next version, which is coming out in January, we're going to have an agent-based technology which will derive performance from the environment where the applications are running. So right now, the answer is yes. As part of the import process, you can run the application. But if you're looking at a wholesale portfolio-based performance, you're better off using agent-based technologies that will give you a higher volume. Any other questions? Cost. It's going to save you a lot of money. roughly, we charge, and it's a variable. We look at the number of applications, and we either charge on a per application basis. So if you had 500 apps, it would be 500 times X. Otherwise, if you're not sure how many apps you have and actually you want to start using this as part of your process, we would look at the size of the organization and charge by seat and not limit the number of applications. To give you a range, difficult to say in Aussie dollars, it's such a strong currency right now. It'll be dirt cheap for you guys. You should really go for it. it can range. It can range, honestly, quite a bit between 80, 90, 100 up to 250, depending on how much technology you're looking to analyze and what components of the product you're looking at. But in all seriousness, the type of ROIs that we're looking at, an oil and gas company that we worked with a couple of years ago, they went to Windows Vista. Their XP migration project took them 18 months. They spent $12 million on it, and that was just the testing remediation, 18 months, 5,500 applications. Their Vista project using our technology, the project came in, including our cost, at $3 million, and they did it in 8 months. So this is really about a huge saving on the back end in terms of time. Okay, I need to wrap. A couple of things. There's a bunch of resources on our website. There are a bunch of resources related to the migration steps, and we don't need to go through this, but our migration checklist, we've got a migration workbook. These are some of the most popular resources on our website. People really use these, and this is derived from our heritage in doing this migration process. So I really encourage you to visit the website and download these resources. They're free. The final word is, you know, get started. This process isn't as bad as you think it is. It really isn't. And everybody that we work with breathes a sigh of relief at some point when they start to see the data for their applications in front of them. A bunch of ways to get hold of us. Thank you very much for your time. Hopefully that's been useful. As I say, please, you know, fill out the feedback forms. I'd love to hear what you thought of the session. Thanks very much.